Greetings to you on this day as we dive into chapter 26 of My Soul Waits by Marva Dawn. And this is an appropriate chapter, as always. So much of this has spoken deeply to my soul over these many weeks. But this chapter title is Finding the Strength to Go On. My goodness. Again, that's a home run theme for all of us. Finding the strength to go on. And this was from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Well, Psalm 29 offers immense comfort for all of us, no matter the kind of deficiency we might suffer. Perhaps you don't lack for strength, but maybe you feel inferior in so many ways, whether it be in intelligence or appearance or social finesse. Whatever our weakness might be, physical, spiritual, mental, name all the ways that we may feel weak. Weak in relationship, weak in resource, weak in time, weak in vulnerability to all the things that seem so out of control. Weak is a human being in the midst of culture, not knowing what your contribution is and how it is that you're called to live out. Weak as some of a future may seem robbed from you. There are so many ways that we feel weak. And those feelings of weakness cause a lack of wholeness, which you know I talk a lot about, that God cares most that a human being would be fully alive, that they would be whole and well, and that in the work of humanity, we'd find out and figure out ways to do that with and for each other. That is where, ultimately, I think we will find hope and sources of hope, if we can just give ourselves to that. Well, Psalm 29 is one of those psalms that is best read aloud because you can really get the sense and feeling of the poetic structure and the emphasis, the voice of God, the voice of praise. And of course, that final word, shalom or peace, it's a movement of people that ultimately they will experience peace. They'll experience a sense of shalom, that God is with them in their affliction. And so Marva writes that there is a great affliction in our loneliness and that grief is often the lack of strength, which often is then a physical symptom of our emotional brokenness, where we might say, how can I find the strength to go on? That would be a common question among those of us who suffer. How can I find the strength to go on? I've lost my life partner. I've lost my job. I've lost a big part of my health or my way forward. So how can I find the strength to go on? And in this psalm, we're powerfully encouraged through this to see that the Lord will provide for us and that God will give us the strength that we need. So it's hard to communicate this because we say, if you say to somebody, you're going to be strong or you're stronger than you realize or you're going to be okay when all is said and done. Well, while those might be helpful words to say, ultimately, what's the promise there? What is the hope there? People will speak out of their wisdom in saying, I've been through this, and I know I got through it, and I know you can too. But I think a gift would be able to be that we look even outside of us, beyond us, and seeing that it's the Lord who will provide that strength. That's where we look in the Psalms. Where will my help come from? To where do I lift up my eyes, right? And so as we consider that, if we're just making it about self-help or self-actualization, self-realization about what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to draw upon our own finite resources, I think we miss out on the power and the presence and the majesty of this God who is within and who seeks to give us the strength that we need. I hope you can resonate with that and see that. Again, this psalmist talks about heavenly beings and that they're called to ascribe to the Lord both glory and strength. And of course, they've now seen this face to face with God, right? So they can go on and worship or on in this glory and praise to God because they know it fully. But for those of us living in the in-between time, how do we see and experience that character that is glorious and mighty and ever-present with us and for us? In all these verses of adoration, there's this context for deep joy. And again, it points to a reverence, a sense of reverence for the worship that we might experience too. And we would say in a place of worship that we desire for God to fill us with reverence and wonder at God's majesty, at God's ability to create, at God's ability to resurrect. Just like when we look to Jesus and we see that his life is ending and there he is on the cross and the crowds are crying out, if you're so strong, why don't you just save yourself? And Jesus, yes, perhaps having the power, the physical power and presence to do that by calling upon God, but instead saying, we find our life by losing it. Within the vulnerability, we recognize again that God is still going to be at work. And even in death, God will not be done. Death will not have the last word. Only life and love will. This is what we see as we look to God in the Psalms. And yes, it can talk about storms and the shaking that will happen in the desert, the lostness of the Israelites as they wander about and as they seek to overthrow their leaders. As we look to the New Testament with the disciples and them trying to figure out what Jesus is trying to teach them and where Jesus is trying to take them and how when he's soon to depart and we hear that he's going to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them, they don't really get it. They can't really see it. And yet we learn throughout scriptures and now throughout the world and the history of the world that after Jesus ascended to the heavens, that power and presence of God within him, it made life, a life of faith, a life of compassion, a life of transformation, a life of storytelling. They went to the far ends of the earth to share these words of hope and blessing. It's very, very powerful. Now, another piece of this psalm, the final picture added to the montage here, is the Lord sat enthroned over the flood. That's the image. And at the time of Noah, God, it said here, was completely in control. So therefore, God could promise that such a flood would never ever happen again. And when we think of that image, then it evokes that David here is seeming to say in his way that Yahweh also sits enthroned over all events. He sits enthroned as king of the universe forever. And not only does he rule over all space and nature, but he also rules over all time and history. And David is putting his life then into God's hands, trusting that God is the primary one acting in his life. Yahweh gives strength to his people. It's not about God controlling or manipulating every event, but it's God being in, with, and under as we proclaim God with us. The Lord gives strength to his people. We can count on it now. And so when people ask the question, how can I find the strength to go on? It's Yahweh. It's God who provides power to God's people. And he blesses us with peace. And what I said at the beginning, the greatest blessing of Yahweh to his people is the gift of wholeness, to be made well, to be made complete. Shalom is a gift of peace. It's a peace that you can have within themselves, within yourself, a community can have within a group of people, but they also can work for peace with their neighbors. In the sense, not only that there's an absence of war or that things are just good, but we give ourselves to making others whole and well and providing peace. Again, peace is not just sitting in meditation and saying all is well in the world. We know through songwriters, one in particular, when he wrote, "It is well with my soul," that those were words that were written through tragedy, through loss, through pain and great amounts of suffering. So shalom, wholeness and wellness is something we work toward. We walk alongside others as we seek to do that. And Marva talks about James, alluding to this covenantal aspect of peace when he wrote in James 2, verses 14 through 16. He says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to him or her, 'Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that?" Yes, shalom includes making the effort necessary to provide what is lacking for such wholeness to be secured for the other. Again, as I said just a few short days ago in this podcast, when we protest together, when we walk together, when we declare Black Lives Matter, we are working on making sure that there's a wholeness, a wellness for the other. And our world desperately needs that right now. This whole COVID crisis is within that same sphere. When we say we will not gather in a place where we cannot guarantee one another's safety, we are saying we're working toward peace, toward full shalom, and making sure all will be whole and all will be well. This shalom, this peace, frees us, you see, to accept the limitations that we ourselves might have, and where we declare even more fully that we're resting in God's sufficiency. Yes, God's sufficiency, God's peace, God's wholeness in our life. And so questions for further meditation today. Number one, what does it mean to worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness? Number two, how does the fact that Yahweh was enthroned over the flood enable you to trust his enthronement over all of life's inundating situations? That's a big one. I'm going to say that again. How, if this is the only one that you do, this would be a good one. How does the fact that Yahweh was enthroned over the flood enable you to trust his enthronement over all the inundating situations of your life? That right there is worth praying over. And the last one, how does the fact that Yahweh adds shalom to the strength that he supplies make it something that's even bigger? How is that gift of shalom such a strengthening gift for you? Until next time, as you pray and meditate, be safe and be well. You are loved.